Well, it's good to be here with you this morning on this beautiful morning in the beginning of autumn and on the third Sunday in Lent. Now, your rector, Greg, tells me that you've been working through the last chapters of Matthew's Gospel in preparation for Good Friday and Easter. And today's reading, which was Matthew 22 and which many of you read along with Greg, is the parable of the wedding banquet. Now, when we hear a parable, it's important to bear two things in mind. And we did something this morning that really hasn't been done for about the last 150 years. And that is, most of you read the parable as it was spoken to you. And that's a tradition that's grown up really only in the last 150 years. Up until then, you listened. You didn't read anything, you listened. And indeed, it's still a tradition, particularly in the Orthodox churches, that nothing is printed. You listen. So it's very much the tradition of churches in the West, and really only in the last 150 years, even though we've had a prayer book and a Bible printed for 500 years, that we actually read it. Now, parables are therefore very important because parables were to be told, not taught, and analysed, dissected, or inquired about. The great tradition that we have now in the West of preaching, which again is something that's grown up largely since the Reformation, has a completely different approach to Scripture. Because, again, for the first nearly 1,500 years of the Church's life, everything was just listened to. And parables, it said, were designed not to be taught, but to be heard. And that parables were meant to be felt, not analysed. So, this morning, I want to begin with, how did we feel about that parable? As we heard it, or as we read it? How did we feel about that parable? Now, I'm going to do both things this morning. I'm going to focus on the feeling, but also do some teaching. How did you feel on hearing this parable? Most people, when surveys are taken as to how people hear parables, and particularly this parable, most people feel comfortable about the first 10 verses of the parable, and most find the ending, the last 4 verses, jars on them. As we know, the man comes to the wedding banquet without the appropriate garment. The king is speechless and demands that he be bound hand and foot and thrown into outer darkness. The punishment seems way out of proportion to the crime. But the first part of the parable, while still having an element of punishment, seems fair and just. And we all like the invitation of the king that's extended to all those on the streets. As it said in verses 9 and 10, go to the main streets, or as it used to say in the Authorized Version, the highways and byways, and invite everyone to the wedding banquet. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. And so we have in this parable, in juxtaposition, two conflicting feelings. One of feeling good and positive. Isn't it wonderful that they went out onto the streets, onto the highways and the byways, and invited the good and the bad to come in? But the other is shock and confusion over the king's actions in regards to the man not suitably dressed. Well, how do we make sense of this? How do we sort out that juxtaposition of feeling? What was Jesus and the writer of Matthew intending. Here we have both feelings that are good and feelings that are bad. The first part of the parable is essentially about the banquet. It's about the king representing God, and as we know, the son who represents Jesus, who is scorned and let down by those who are invited and don't come. The issue is about the invitation. People who say, yes, I'll come, and don't. I'll come back to the theme of invitation a little later. And as I've said, the climax of this first part of the parable is the going out onto the streets. As the commentary by scholar Brendan Byrne puts it, clearly in view at this point is, interestingly, the mission of the church is beyond Israel to the nations of the world. See, the context and the original listeners of this parable that Matthew was directing it to were the people of Israel. And what he was saying to them was, look, you, as the people of God, as God's chosen people, have been in an amazing position. You have had an invitation to come to the Lord's banquet, but have you acted on it? And what Matthew is saying, if you're going to scorn God, we'll go and invite the Gentiles. The second part of the parable, the throwing of the man without the robe into outer darkness, the man without the robe does represent those who accepted the invitation but did not come to the banquet. In Matthew, they've missed out. And here his message is primarily to the people of Israel and telling them, sorry, it's too late. The mission of the church will go beyond the people of Israel. The mission of the church will go to the world as we know it. He is saying to the people of Israel, you'll be punished for your complacency. If you accept the king's invitation, you needed to do something about it. Well, what does this mean in our own day and age, this parable of invitation, but a parable of invitation which shows very different behaviours on the part of people? Those who are expected did not come, and those who had been least expected, those out on the streets, immediately responded and came. Well, what this parable is saying to us in our own day and age is that the church is called to mission. The church is called to be an invitational church. Just a fortnight ago in this very church, there was a seminar on Sunday afternoon by a man called Michael Harvey, a layman from the Church of England, who founded a movement called Back to Sunday, Back to Church Sunday, which has now evolved into a program called A Season of Invitation. But it was really about building a culture of invitation in all churches and congregations. The church is not to be complacent about its responsibility. The church is not to be like the man without the robe. Or else, again, we're going to let down God. Well, in the context of Southeast Bendigo, what is our mission? What is our invitation? The biggest missionary challenge that we as a church face is right before us. In most churches, and particularly during Lent as I tour around, there's a special focus on mission overseas, be it in Asia or the South Pacific or in Africa. In a way, what that is about is raising money for those churches. They need money. They don't necessarily need people. Churches in what we regard as mission lands are in fact burgeoning with people. In stark contrast, we might have money, but we don't have people. So the mission of the church, its greatest challenge, is right before us here. And so it was for the church at the time of Matthew. The very people who Matthew and who our Lord's words were directed to, who should be about the mission of the church, were in fact ignoring it. And so our message this morning is a message of challenge to all congregations and to all churches. What are we doing about being an invitational church in Flora Hill, Spring Gully, Strathfield, say, and Strathdale? Do we respond to the challenge that God puts before us to become an invitational church? If we don't, the message from today's gospel is that God, through Christ, will go around us. And all those beyond the church will be the focus of attention. It's as though the banquet was being held here. We were all issued an invitation, but we're all so busy about being the church, we didn't take it up. We didn't see that the invitation was really about engaging with our community, engaging with other people, being an invitational church. Today's gospel is challenging. It has strong overtones of the Easter story, but ultimately it is about responding to the invitation of God. It's about responding to the heavenly banquet. It's about responding to the invitation that Christ puts to all of us when he says to his disciples, "Follow me." And only we can respond to that invitation. Only we can respond to the banquet. The Lord be with you.